Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Doc.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Glad to have you on board once more. I think we haven't spoken to you in a while. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, definitely been a while. Well, those who are listening and wondering, what doc is this? We're talking to Dr. Bev Buckley-Velemse, who's going to be talking to us about teacher recruitment and retention. Now, teacher recruitment is defined as an effort to increase the numbers of qualified persons who could be willing to accept teaching positions, while teacher retention refers to the proportion of teachers in 1 year who are still teaching in the same school, the following year. Now, Doc, why are recruitment and retention so important within the education system?
The question is a double barrel.
Yeah.
Because you know, we talk. Let's go first of all for recruitment. Mm-hmm. The problem, can I start with the problems, because you know that's actually quite a crisis at the moment, is that there are very few students, mm-hmm. that are being encouraged at this stage to pursue teaching as a career. I'm just thinking of parents in general. When last have you heard a parent say to their child, become a teacher, you know, mm-hmm. this is something worthwhile to pursue in your life? The recruiting of teachers is becoming a problem, not only because there's no pool to recruit from.
Okay.
I read some interesting research that in 2022, Harvard University, this is according to a Forbes report, mm-hmm. closed their undergraduate teacher training course because of low enrollment.
Oh man!
So you know, if that's happening at that level. You know, where people are just no longer interested in pursuing teaching as a career because it has all the challenges that it currently does have.
Mm-hmm.
We have a problem because people, you know, you have a passion. I'm a teacher. All my life I've been a teacher, and I have a passion for teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But how far does my passion go?
Yeah.
If I have to put food on the table, I have to put my children through school, I have to have a place to stay, I have to have transport and all these kind of things,
mm-hmm.
that teachers just can't afford to do on their salaries.
Yeah.
So I'm not recruiting a teacher is not difficult if you have someone that is passionate about teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping that teacher when the reality hits in that I just can't do this. I just can't continue to do this, and pull it through as a career because
yeah.
of various things. I'll mention one of them is, what are my growth options,
mm-hmm.
as a teacher?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Personal development, personal growth. So, you know, when I enter into any other work position, I can think, okay, my I'm going to work towards that promotion or going up on the ladder.
Yeah, yeah.
As a teacher, what's my next step? You know, I teach for a couple of years and then I get a promotion. Now I'm a head of department or I'm a head of a grade. What increases is my admin. I have less to do with the kids that I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
Now I go further up and I can maybe become the head of department, a principal or something. Less and less is related to my passion,
mm-hmm.
And more the draining jobs of admin and problems and solving things and raising funds, things that I did not sign up for in the first place.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
These are things, you know, if there's no place for me to grow personally, I kind of lose my momentum.
Mm.
So that's just one of the things, you know, the passion to become a teacher, to work with children. And I've often said that, you know, high school teachers that become think I want to be a teacher because I love children. That's for primary, for basic primary education. But if
yeah.
you're a high school teacher, you're never going to work with a child.
Mm.
You're always going to be working with a semi-adult.
Yeah.
That is way more challenging. So if you have a love for children and you're considering working with children, then primary education is the ideal for you.
Mm-hmm.
But not, you know, the high school education. That's not working with children at all. Some of the other things that motivate that retain your teachers is the added benefits, to the salaries. Because believe it or not, 40% lower, that's what teachers are paid, according to their peers, equally educated peers in other departments
My
and other
goodness.
in other in industries.
Yeah.
So even in the government department, if I'm a government school teacher, I get paid less than an equivalent, because back, well, you can't become a teacher in a high school if you don't have a degree plus a teaching diploma. So that's equal to an honors degree.
Yeah,
So that's
yeah.
your minimum entry level
Sure.
for to be able to be a high school teacher. That's your entry level. Now, if I go to any other place and start with my honors degree, I start 20% higher in another government department, and that's kind of not doesn't gel well. Because, it's the most qualified workplace where the people are the most qualified, but the most underpaid and most undervalued in their communities where they are. Because especially if you're a teacher where everyone in your class and in your community is in high bracket or super educated, then the teacher is undervalued and disrespected many times.
Man, yeah, no, this is actually quite sobering, yeah, Doc. Now, with these retention challenges, is there a way some of these could be addressed?
I was reading up about it, with in preparation for our discussion here, and how that no matter in which country I was looking in which research, whether it's the UK, in Europe, and in America, South Africa is following suit. The problem is the if we could recruit more teachers, we'd retain more teachers, because what happens is that now the workload, the teachers are leaving and the workload doubles on those that remain. And now the classes become bigger. So the education that we used to give our children has now diluted, because there's now 30 or 40 kids in the class where there used to be 20, but now there's not enough teachers. So now the admin increases, there's less people to do the sport and the cultural activities that need to be done. You want to keep your students, because if you lose students, you lose your income, you lose more teachers. And there was an interesting study done in Germany that there was a direct correlation between the emotional wellness of the teachers and the children's mathematical achievements. And the high level of burnout that teachers were experiencing was affecting the children's academic results. So, happy teacher, happy students, unhappy teacher, unhappy students, unsuccessful students, because, teachers are just not getting to do what they're supposed to be doing, which is then at the end of the day, the ideal circumstance for burnout, because burnout is directly, I mean, it is a mental, physical, emotional exhaustion because of the excessive and prolonged stress. And then because I'm overwhelmed, because I'm not getting to what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not achieving what I'm supposed to be achieving, that's the burnout. So, if we could, it doesn't, a teacher works with the heart. And that's where it starts. Respecting your teachers, having your teachers' backs. That's one thing that's super important for teachers, is that management of the school can play a huge role in retaining their teachers. So I'm not saying this is in general in education, but if you're a principal in a school, you're a key player in keeping your teachers. Do you have your teachers back? When there's a crisis, do you first have your teachers back and listen, and then you look at the bigger picture? Or do you first have the parents back and first have the children's back against your teacher all the time? If you're a principal and your teachers know that management has my back, that goes a very long way in retaining a teacher.
Yeah. Man, now, Bev, this is quite sobering, man, and quite, I think, disappointing as well at the same time. Now, how does this teacher turnover affect learners overall and the school culture in general?
Hugely. There's instability in the children's, not only the academic, but emotionally. You know, a child comes from, many children come from unstable home circumstances. They find some stability at school. There's sameness. Every morning there's the same, things are the same. But the more they change at school, the more unsettled the students are, the more it affects discipline in the school. And because, I mean, the moment there's a new teacher in an environment, they start from scratch again to build up the relationships. Mm. And, you know, students connect with the teacher or they don't. So now I'm connecting well with my maths teacher. Mm-hmm. And for once, things are going well. And now that teacher's gone and I have to basically take two or three steps back to get into my maths again or into my English or wherever I was going. Mm-hmm. And it causes a lot of instability, mm-hmm. not only academically, but emotionally. And also depending on the age of your children as well. And it'll have a way bigger effect in a primary education than what it would in high school. In a high school setting, you know, you're a little bit more settled, mm-hmm. Emotionally settled until you get, you know, around your senior years where you have your grade 11 and 12, where you would need continuity for academic success, you know, and then the panic that happens when the accounting teacher leaves 3 months before the final exam,
oh my goodness.
Because she's now found something better, mm. you know, it really destabilizes academics.
True.
And emotions in the children, yes.
And the performance as well, academic performance, as you said.
Absolutely. Because the funny thing is students often perform for the teacher.
Actually,
you know,
true.
As much as they don't necessarily haven't yet grasped or owned the concept, I'm doing this for myself. Kids are, you know, I'm talking about middle school age where they're still working either to impress their parents, mm. or to keep their teachers happy. When they reach a higher grade, if they have a good connection with that teacher, they'll work hard in that subject because they have a connection with that teacher. Mm. If they don't feel that teacher's heart, they don't put in the same energy. And that we've seen it so many times. A student connects emotionally with the academics.
Mm. Now, before I let you go, Doc, I'm trying to think, what is it that can be done or methods that can be adopted, you know, in order to retain the existing workforce, as well as to make it more attractive, man, you know, and rewarding to aspiring educators?
It's a difficult question to answer with the realities of salaries, pensions, medical funds, and those things that are glaringly needed for a teacher. Mm-hmm. When we're looking at a school environment where there's no equipment to teach with, there's not enough books, there's not enough tables and chairs, there's not enough there's not a photocopy machine that I can actually do what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we can provide all those things, if the teacher has we're not even talking about a competitive good salary. I'm talking about I have a pension, I have my medical fund, mm-hmm. and I can do my job. I have the paper and I have the pen and I can put my kids on desks in front of me. Mm-hmm. That already ticks a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
But I was thinking the other day, and if you read the book Education, written by Ellen G. White, mm-hmm. where she comes and when she speaks specifically about Christian education, mm-hmm. and she says every single teacher should see him or herself as a missionary, taking the gospel to young minds. And you know, once you've redefined possibly your purpose. Am I just teaching these kids to pass this exam? Or am I preparing these kids for eternity? Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, if you're not in a Christian education setting, you can get into very big trouble if you start preaching the gospel.
Yeah, of course.
But you know that saying that preach the gospel every day and only if necessary, use words. You, as a teacher, wherever you are, you don't have to preach the 28 fundamental beliefs or the New Testament or the Old Testament
Mm-hmm.
approach to anything, you can be that Jesus figure in that child's life. And suddenly, yes, we need a salary. We need a medical aid. We need all those things. But when you redefine your purpose and you realize that I'm not just teaching academics here,
mm-hmm.
I'm connecting a child to the Lord, or I mean something to this child. I'm changing the way they perceive their lives, the way they feel about life. You might be the only person that loves that child and cares about them, you know. So, yes, we do teach with our hearts, and we do it with passion, and we do it with love. And if you can redefine your purpose and realize why you're really there, that can do so much for retaining the teachers in your school. If they can just redefine their purpose, why it is so important for you to be here.
Mm.
You're not just here to pass the exam at the end of the year.
Yeah. Your final remarks, Doc, before I let you go?
I think, as if the parents I'm speaking to at the moment,
yes.
I'm just doing an appeal to parents to consider the importance of motivating children to consider teaching. If you know that's an option for your child, it's a meaningful life choice to make,
mm-hmm.
and you can do so much with it. You know, purpose-driven life is so much more fulfilling than just motivating your children to do the jobs that are high paying and high flying. That's one of the things do we believe in it in our education system in the first place? Do we support our local church education system? And if not, why not? Do we not believe in it? Are we not firmly convinced in a Christian education system? That's a totally different conversation, of course. But you know, think about the long term. Who's going to be teaching your grandchildren? Let us not have this mindset of this is an inferior position, because kids pick it up and they reflect it in class at school as well. I won't ever become a teacher. My dad says it's a useless job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's think carefully.
Such.
Yes.
My goodness. Well, thank you so much, Bev, for joining us, man. This is actually quite sobering and very sad, really, for the education. In the beginning, you said this, you find this in quite a number of countries across the world?
Across the world. It's the same, the same trend. The amount of teachers that resign on a yearly basis and never return to the calling or to the profession again is astounding. It's frightening. It's terrifying. In fact, when I started looking at the numbers, I was shocked.
My goodness.
When I started realizing that big schools like Harvard are closing their undergrad programs for teachers. I mean, what is happening and what is going to happen?
My goodness.
Maybe we'll all be taught by robots, you know, the AI coming into education. Should we leave that conversation for another time?
My goodness. Yeah. No, man, thank you so much, Dr. Willemse. Thank you so much for joining us. It's truly been a pleasure. Very sobering, and I think it needs a lot of us as parents to actually think deeply about this and how we also should, encourage, I think, our children to pursue this as a passion, really, more than anything. But I do know that at the end of the day, the choice is there. People must pay bills and they must, you know, have a life to live that's fulfilling, et cetera, et cetera. But hey, thank mm-hmm. you so much for joining us. Eh?
You are so welcome, and have a great evening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.